I don't want you to worry. Tonight's lesson is going to be 10 minutes. And then another 10 minutes. And maybe another 10 minutes. But it will be 10 minutes. All right. So tonight I want to talk to you about a lesson I entitled Falling in Love with God's Word Daily. And this is an encouragement and exhortation to be reading and studying and meditating on God's Word every day. If you're not doing that, I want to greatly encourage you tonight to start doing that and to try to convince you why you need to be doing that. I know a lot of the reasons I hear people say that they don't do that. Number one, I'm just too busy. I don't have the time. And I know we're all busy. But I just kind of, in my own mind, think, I'm sure Jesus was busy in heaven when he came down to earth to be that perfect sacrifice. You don't understand, I'm a parent, my kids take all my time. And I do understand, kids require a lot of our time and our energy. But maybe we could take some of that time and use it in God's Word or make it around God's Word. I know a lot of parents that do that. A lot of mothers take quality time with their kids in God's Word. Or sometimes people will say, well, I've gone through the material already. I've already read the Bible. Do I need to keep going through it over and over again? Or some might say, I get enough Bible with sermons and Bible class. I don't need it every single day. And I want us to be very careful about making excuses, giving reasons why we just don't want to spend or can't spend time with God's Word. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus himself gave a parable that we often refer to as the parable of the big dinner. And in verse 15, he relates, and one of those who reclined at table with him heard this. And he said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus then gives a parable to certain Pharisees. Pharisees who didn't like the tone of Jesus' words. Pharisees who thought they were already in the kingdom. And he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at that dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But look at verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And so Jesus in this parable gives the real truth of what was going on. And that is that the Pharisees had been invited to the kingdom of God. They were not in it yet. Not the ultimate kingdom of God. And yet they were making excuses as to why they could not come and be part of God's kingdom. And this really tells me that we need to be very careful about excuses and making excuses or finding other things that we think are more important than spending a few moments, quality moments, with God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, Peter exhorts Christians, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't think you can do that absent of God's Word. How can you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior, absent of His Word? And I tell you that the more time you spend with that Word, the more quicker you're going to grow and the stronger you're going to grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord. There is ultimately a connection there, a pattern, that those who spend more time, quality time with the Word of God, grow stronger and quicker than those who don't. In 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, Paul writes, All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And I look at that passage and I think to myself, all Scripture is inspired, and so if that be the case, do I just need parts of it? No, I need all of it. Do I need it just once? Or maybe twice? No, I need to be studying all of it. And so out of these verses comes this idea of a daily devotion to God and His Word. Taking some time, if possible, quiet time, to read through God's Word. Because all of it is God-breathed. And so I want to hear every single word of it. We need to be reading and studying and meditating on God's Word. Point number two, why? Why do I need to be daily with God's Word? Well, number one, you have nothing better to do. Now, I know that we have other things to do and things we have to do, and we have responsibilities, and on top of that, there are things that we have to do in connection with our relationship with God. Spending time with neighbors, loving our neighbors as ourselves, being with our family, being that Christian spouse. I understand all of that. But I want to say, if we're too busy to spend some good quality minutes with God's Word every day, if we're too busy for that, then we need to make a life change. We've made some wrong decisions in the way we schedule our time. Imagine telling God, "I'm sorry, God, I'm too busy to read your Bread of Life." There really is nothing more important, nothing more pressing. As Jesus told to Martha concerning Mary, there are only a few things, really only one, and Mary has chosen the right one, the better path. Remember Jesus' potential disciples? They said, "I will follow you." But each and every one of them had something that they wanted to do before that. Something that they saw was more pressing, more important. And each time Jesus says something that counters their desire to go and do that first, rather than to put Jesus first and follow Him. In fact, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, to one of them, Jesus says these words, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." It needs to be a priority. It needs to be a focus. So there really isn't things that are more important. We need to make the time for it. Number two, God's Word is light. And we need that light in a world that the Bible describes as what? Darkness. And I think most of us look at this world and we say it's not only darkness, it's getting darker. Even more need to have God's light in us. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp to thy feet and a light to my path." Later on in that Psalm 119, now in verse 130, listen to these words. The unfolding of thy words gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. This tells me two things. This wording, the unfolding of God's word. We don't unfold God's word, do we? We open it. But the Israelites, when they read God's word, they unfolded it. They what? They took a scroll, and we would say they rolled it out. They would say, we unfolded it, and they'd start reading. And when they were done with that, they unfold some more. And the picture he's painting here is of reading from God's word in a scroll form. And each time they unfold, more light shines. And what that tells me two things is that when I think about this, the ancient Israelites didn't go home and say, you know, I didn't quite get that passage. I'll look it up in my scroll at home. They didn't have a scroll at home. They had to take that word and they had to put it in their heart. They had to put it in their memory. Perhaps, maybe there was some way they wrote some of it down and took it home. And then all week long they would think about it and they would meditate upon it. And they heard it so much that it just became by memory. And they found right ways to write it down, as Deuteronomy chapter 6 states. We have such a convenience that we have the complete bread of life in our home that we can just take it, find a quiet place, and spend some time reading it and reflecting on it. We don't have to just go to church and then carry it with us the whole week. We have it right in our hands. And so the unfolding of God's word, he says, brings that light. We talk about sometimes breaking the bread of life as if to reveal what? The flavor, the light that comes from it. You know, one of the big things that Orange County Fire is really proud of, a number of years ago, they got for their helicopters night vision goggles. And that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because when's the time people are most likely to get lost and need to be found? When it's dark, right? Well, sorry, we can't see you in the dark, so we can't find you. Well, they purchased these night goggle visions that even though it is pitch black in the middle of nowhere, there are no street lights out there in the middle of nowhere, they can see these people. And then either pick them up or let the units on the ground find out where they are. That's what God's word is. It is our night vision goggles as we live in this world. But if we're not spending time with it, we're not getting the light that comes from it. Number three, why? Well, God's word, as it is described in the Bible, is also food. It makes us rich. It is a source of wealth. For example, Psalm 19, verse 10 through 12. God's commandments are described as more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. And moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors and acquit me of hidden faults? Well, God's commandments can do that very thing. So he says it is more desirable than gold. The interesting thing, how many of us remember a number of years ago all the different places that just popped up saying, we want to buy your gold? Remember that? We don't see them as much. A lot of them have closed down. Why did we find all these people that wanted to buy our gold jewelry and our gold earrings and all of that? Because gold does really well. It holds itself up, especially when our financial monetary system is not going so well. People tend to put all their money, whatever they have, into gold because it does really well. It's a precious metal. And yet he says That word, the Word of God, is more durable. It's more precious even than gold. It's able to make us rich. It's described as a treasure. Matthew 6, verse 20, 21 says, guess what? We are supposed to lay up treasure. Doesn't that sound good? Matthew 6, 20, 21, buy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Word of God should be a treasure. But if we're not doing it daily, is that where our heart is? Is that where our treasure is? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes, but we have this treasure. He's talking about God's Word, the gospel salvation. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. The earthen vessels, the vessels that at some point get weak and break down, that's us. His treasure is in us. But we're weak. We're earthly. We're going to break apart. But we're there to protect what is described as the treasure. You may not have a lot of money in this world, but if you have the salvation that comes from God's Word, and you have that Word implanted in your heart, you are wealthy, says God. Number four, it is a source of food. God's Word is our food source. When we don't eat, we get hungry. And hunger eventually, if it's not checked, what? It affects the entire body. It affects the body, it affects the mood, it affects our disposition. And this point should really hit home for us, because we're not like a lot of the New Testament Christians, who most of those New Testament Christians voluntarily took time to fast. And they got hungry. Most of us, we don't go 3-4 hours without at least something being put into us. We know the importance of food and putting something in our body and the joy of what that feels like to have a stomach that is full and not hungry. It should be the way. Same way with God's Word. Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. How many of you, you know, maybe some of us get older, we have to fight the urge of the midnight snack. Eating at midnight may not be the best thing, right? Especially as you get older. He's saying God's Word, thinking about God, it's his midnight snack. He thinks about God and His Word as he is on his bed at night. It is his midnight delight, if you will. John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. How important is the Word of God in daily life? If we miss out on it, we're missing a whole lot. Look at what Moses does in Deuteronomy 6. We're so familiar with this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 9. But what he is doing here is he's getting this second generation ready for success. And part of that success comes from these words. He says, and these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And God's Word needs to be all around us daily. When you look at that, you can just see clearly that this isn't something that was supposed to be just a once in a week type of thing, but that is a daily thing. God's Word was to be all around them so that they could reflect upon it and talk about it. They could meditate on themselves, but they could see it and then talk to their kids about it. It should be around us. Every day it is more precious than gold. It is like daily food. Number three, how should I read then? Well, I know there's a lot of different ways to study God's Word, and there's lots of different reading charts out there, and you can try them all. We know that there is, you know, charts that say, well, we'll take you from Genesis to Revelation, and they give you, you know, you read a part every day, and at the end of 1 year, you're at the end, and you've done it. There are some that will say, okay, I've got Old Testament 2 days, and then 1 day New Testament, 2 days Old Testament, 1 day New Testament, and you kind of, you know, it kind of breaks up the New Testament, which is shorter, so that you're kind of reading both throughout the year. There's chronological, there's topical, there's all sorts of way. But what I want us to understand is that there has to be some systematic goal here. It can't just be, well, I'm going to open up God's Word, and I'm just going to read from where I open it. There's got to be a goal, a pattern, a plan, where you're going to read the Bible through at a certain amount of time. And so our reading has to be purposeful. It has to be systematic. There has to be a reading goal and a reading schedule. Next, it needs to be purpose-driven. It is something I've set my goal on. And I think what often happens is that, you know, we have this schedule and we have this as our goal, and one day just kind of everything goes wrong and we miss a day and we feel so bad about it. And then the next day something happens and we miss that. And the more we miss it, the easier it is to just kind of put something ahead of it. Well, I'll get back to it. Boy, I've got so much more to read to catch up. I'll never catch up. And after a month, we just haven't done it. We just said, well, we'll just give it up. It's just too much. Well, if you miss a day, that's okay. Don't kick yourself about it. Just get back to it. If you don't read 2 days, just read 1 day and just keep going. It's designed for a year. Maybe it takes you a year and a half. Maybe it takes you 2 years. Just keep reading. Don't give up if you miss a day or two. Be purposeful. Let it keep going. Jesus gave his whole life for us. Can we give him a few minutes, quality minutes, every day? Next, it needs, I believe, to be inquisitive. Don't just read and like, oh, I got done with that chapter, I'm done. We're very good at reading. We can read and we can't even pay attention, and yet we're reading. But read with questions. Be inquisitive. In Acts chapter 17, Paul went to a synagogue in Berea, and it says they were more noble-minded. Why? Because they were listening and searching, and they were asking and looking, is what he's saying in here? And what does he mean when he says it's in here? And so they were more inquisitive. They took the extra step. And in Acts 16, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, and he asked Philip, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? You've got to want to know, what does this mean? Why is this word here? Why is Paul writing this? And then find that answer. And when you're able to do that, you're going to grow by leaps and bounds. So don't just read for the sake of reading. And not only that, it needs to be done meditatively. In Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist writes, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. In Psalm 1, verse 2, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This is not a transcendental meditation that is so common in our world today. Things like yoga and so forth that tell you to take deep breaths and just kind of meditate on something and to cleanse your mind of all the impure thoughts and so forth. This is a meditation. This is simply a thinking, a pondering about what you've read in God's Word. And even then, how does that apply to my life? How am I going to put this into my life? The Jews had to do that because oftentimes they heard the Word of God in the synagogue and then had to carry that with them throughout the week because, as we've said, they didn't have their own Scripture at home. The Word of God is an investment. An investment takes energy and study and investigation. And so I want to encourage you to take God's Word and make it your own and to investigate it and to question it and to find those answers. Make it come to life for you. And you will grow by leaps and bounds. You need to fall in love with God's Word every day. Your Bible study needs to challenge you. You can't be strong in faith without being involved with God's Word. And if you can do that daily, purposefully, with that goal, then you're going to find great things in the Bible you've never seen before. And so I want to leave you with that tonight. On a day that we've talked about plans and goals and what we want to accomplish this year, make this a goal if it's not already. Because God's Word is His source of salvation. And that's what we offer tonight, an opportunity to come and to experience the grace, the knowledge, and the salvation of God. If we can help you with that tonight, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.